Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC. So the Supreme Court yesterday agreed to hear three cases involving gay and lesbian and transgender rights. One thing that ties those cases together is the question of whether federal civil rights law already bans anti-LGBTQ discrimination in things like housing, employment, and education, or whether the language in the law specifying sex discrimination doesn't apply. Let's learn more and get a point of view from Gabriel Arkles, senior staff attorney with the LGBT and HIV Project of the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. He is an attorney on the team involved in one of the cases, Harris Funeral Homes versus the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. He represents Amy Stevens, a transgender woman who worked as a funeral director and says she was fired because of her sex. Hi, Gabriel. Thanks very much for coming on WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us about your case first? Who is Amy Stevens and what happened to her at this funeral home in Michigan where she worked?
Amy Stevens had been working for Harris Funeral Homes for 6 years. And when she was initially hired, her boss thought she was a man. After 6 years, she told him that she was truly a transgender woman. And 2 weeks later, he fired her, saying it wasn't going to work out.
I see the funeral home argues that federal law prohibits sex discrimination, which is not the same as gender identity discrimination, for which there is no language in the law. Is your job to argue that a statute that says sex discrimination should also be interpreted by the court to apply to gender identity?
So the law says that there's no discrimination allowed on the basis of sex. And every court to consider this question has said that discrimination on the basis of sex includes discrimination against people for being transgender. It's difficult to even imagine what it would mean for it not to cover that. When somebody is an acceptable, highly valued employee as a man, says that she's a woman, and then gets fired for it, that's clearly on the basis of sex.
But the funeral home owner said, according to what I read, that his decision to fire Amy Stevens was based on the owner's religious belief that God didn't want someone who is a man presenting himself as a woman, dressing as a woman, which from what I read was, you know, the trigger for him to fire her, that Amy Stevens came out to him as transgender and said, I'm going to start wearing women's clothing to work, something like that.
So she said that she was going to wear appropriate business attire. And Tom Rost says that women have to wear skirts in the office. So yes, she would have worn a skirt. And that is, again, obviously because of sex. There's nothing about that. When he says, I'm comfortable with having you work here as a man, but I'm not comfortable having you work here as a woman, that is because of sex.
The lower court in this case ruled in Amy Stevens' favor. Do I have that right?
That's right.
How did they explain, well, I guess they must have explained it how you explained it, that sex discrimination law would also cover gender identity in a case like this?
That's right. They said that that the firing was obviously based on sex stereotypes, and it's very clearly against the law. It has been, at least since the Supreme Court said in 1989 that you can't fire people on the basis of sex stereotypes, and that's exactly what happened here.
And if the case is called Harris Funeral Home versus the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, does that mean that the federal government, the EEOC of the federal government, also came down originally on Amy Stevens' side?
Yes, the EEOC has said that it is discrimination on the basis of sex to discriminate against people for being transgender or to discriminate against them for being lesbian, gay, or bisexual. So this case was originally started by the EEOC, which investigated her claims and found that, in fact, sex discrimination had happened.
Did the EEOC demand that she be reinstated or any other particular remedy?
I can't recall the exact remedies that they sought. It would be typical to ask for reinstatement and or compensation for lost wages.
And that was during the Obama administration, right?
That's right.
This is the kind of case I might have expected Trump and Jeff Sessions or William Barr to have switched sides on and side with the funeral home director on the basis of religious liberty or something. Did they?
So at the At the lower courts, they did not. But once a case gets up to the Supreme Court, it stops being the EEOC and it starts being the Department of Justice. So at this stage, yes, the Department of Justice had made has made clear that they are going to oppose Amy Stevens' claim.
Wow. So in that case, if there's no defendant, do they have the standing to just cancel the case and side with the funeral home and make it go away?
So in the Court of Appeals, we intervened on behalf of Amy Stevens because we anticipated that this might become a problem under the Trump administration. So it is actually still a live case with people on both sides. It's just that the federal government is switching sides. But we're representing Amy Stevens, so she will still have her interests represented before
the
court.
So she herself, the fired employee for being transgender, becomes one side in the case rather than the federal government.
That's right.
What's the Trump administration's argument? I know you're the attorney for the other side, but could you characterize their argument that you have to refute on a legal basis since the lower courts ruled that this is sex discrimination?
Yes. Yeah, so the Trump administration has been arguing in this case and other cases like it that discrimination on the basis of sex refers only to discrimination that is specifically based on one's biological characteristics, particularly reproductive anatomy, which would drastically limit the scope of sex discrimination law, not just for transgender people or for LGBT people, but for all people. They also argue that some sex discrimination, if it is based on real differences between men and women, is actually acceptable.
Some sex discrimination is actually acceptable. Talk about that.
So what they argued, for example, before the Court of Appeals in Zarda, which is another case we'll be talking about,
right?
They argued that discrimination on the basis of sex is sometimes acceptable when it is based on real differences between men and women. And the examples that they gave were discrimination in terms of restroom use and discrimination in terms of one's intimate relationships outside of the workplace with people of the same sex. So in those contexts, they're saying that the discrimination is based on, quote unquote, real differences between men and women and therefore is permissible. And there's absolutely no statutory basis for that argument, and the courts have rejected.
Even if they were to successfully make that case, what's the relevance to Amy Stevens? From what you've told us, she was working productively as a funeral director at a funeral home for 6 years, and then she revealed to her employer she was working as a man, as they understood it, and then she revealed that she was a transgender person and would be dressing as a woman when she comes to work, and then they fired her. But the job is funeral director, so what could the professional relevance of her now being a woman have had to do with that?
I mean, it has nothing to do with it, and it's undisputed that she was fired for nothing having to do with her job performance and only because of her sex. Although they would say, I think, that it's based on a real difference between men and women for an employer to expect somebody who is assigned a male sex at birth to dress in ways that he thinks are appropriate for men to dress.
What do you think the Trump administration is really after here? Because sometimes when you argue a technicality in the law, you really are interested in that technicality, but often you're really using a technicality to uphold something else that's your real interest. So, yeah, okay, they could argue that the Civil Rights Act says sex discrimination. That doesn't cover gay or trans people. But really, maybe they just want employers to have the right to discriminate against trans people. Can you tell?
Well, they've very consistently argued for eliminating the civil rights protections that all LGBT people enjoy under federal law. My concern is that ultimately they're trying to weaken civil rights protections for everybody in the workplace.
Is religious liberty an argument on their side for the funeral home? You know, you as the American Civil Liberties Union would also have an interest in protecting someone's individual liberty to live according to their religious views. This funeral home owner said it was against his religious views to have his male employee, as the owner saw, Amy Stevens present as a female. How do you square the tension between those two civil liberties in this case, and is the Trump administration claiming it?
So first of all, the employer did raise a religious defense in the lower courts, but they have abandoned that before the Supreme Court. They have not appealed on that issue. So the Trump administration, in terms of the DOJ, will not be asked to weigh in on that at this stage. In terms of the broader question, religious liberty is, of course, absolutely vital. But religious liberty doesn't mean that an employer can impose his own religious beliefs on his employees. That's not what religious liberty is. So here, I don't actually think there is a tension between religious liberty and civil rights protections.
My guest, if you're just joining us, is Gabriel Arkell, senior staff attorney with the LGBT and HIV Project of the ACLU. He's an attorney on the team involved in one of the three cases having to do with gay and lesbian and transgender rights in the workplace that the Supreme Court accepted yesterday, the case known as Harris Funeral Homes versus the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. We're going to get into the other two cases as well, and we can take any of your questions or comments on them at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. His client, again, Amy Stevens, in case you know that name from reading about this case or hearing about it, 212-433-9692. Now, ominously for your side, Gabriel, Justice Kennedy, who retired last year, was a pretty reliable vote for LGBTQ protections, for interpreting the law as providing them. Kennedy was replaced by Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Does Kavanaugh have a record in this area?
Justice Kavanaugh actually has very little record in this area. He is, though, a strong interpreter of, based on the plain text of a statute, and I think that will actually serve our side here.
Let's take a call. Catherine in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
Yes, actually, I have a question about the plain meaning of the statute. The dissent in the Second Circuit case, which was Zorda, was written by a justice who actually supports gay and transgender rights, and in fact was apologizing for his result. And he argued that the plain meaning of the statute and the legislative history, assuming you think that the meaning isn't plain, don't support the view that the Title VII, which is the Civil Rights Act of 64, extends right to protecting gay and transgender people.
So because the plain language of the statute, that argument would go, the plain language is it prohibits sex discrimination. That doesn't say anything about sexual orientation discrimination. Is that the point?
Yes, and actually the dissenters went into some detail in explaining why it didn't. They didn't just take it on its face, and also went into the legislative history. So, you know, I felt that the argument when I read the dissent was we really want to come out the other way, but we can't. Mm. And I just would like you, and the only way to get there is to amend the statute. So I'm just wondering, I know your guest is no Zorda, what his thoughts might be on that.
Thank you, Catherine.
So, yes, I think...
And, you know what? Let me jump in, actually, for a second, for the sake of our listeners, for a little more background, because we haven't set up the Zorda case yet, only the Amy Stevens case. And so another of the three cases in this set that the Supreme Court accepted yesterday is Altitude Express versus Zorda, which involves firing somebody not because they were transgender, but because he came out as gay. And as the New York Times described it today, this case was brought by a skydiving instructor, Donald Zorda, who said he was fired because he was gay. His dismissal followed a complaint from a female customer who had voiced concerns about being tightly strapped to Mr. Zorda during a tandem dive. Mr. Zorda, hoping to reassure the customer, told her that he was, quote, 100% gay. What happened then?
So then he was fired from his job. And unfortunately, Don Zorda is now deceased, but the case continues with his estate, and his sister and his partner are continuing to be involved in the case. And so the issue before the Second Circuit, which is the issue that is now before the Supreme Court, is whether it is discrimination on the basis of sex to fire somebody for being gay. And I think the dissent just misunderstood the law. When we say sexual orientation, as we describe it, we're not referring to whether people are attracted to someone based on their height or something. We're talking very much about somebody's sex. We're talking about whether somebody is of the same sex of people who they're attracted to. There's no way to make that not about sex without sort of spinning yourself in circles to try to argue your way out of it. So I think the plain textual meaning really does support this idea. You can also think about it in terms of sex stereotypes. There's this idea that all men should be attracted to women and only women. And that if you're not attracted as a man to women and only women, then you're not a real man. You're not the right type of man. You're not somebody who the employer wants to have working for them. That's really the dynamic, and it's very much about sex and sex stereotypes.
Raffaello in Wyckoff. You're on WNYC. Hello, Raffaello.
I can hear you clearly. Can you hear me?
We got you just fine.
Okay, so when Mr. Arco, first of all, thank you very much for the interesting conversation, fascinating stuff. When Mr. Arco touched on the idea of permissibility of discrimination between men and women, he didn't touch upon something that I'm really interested in, which is this. Let's say I'm the owner of a construction company. The work that is required is extremely hard, strenuous. You need physical strength. If I'm only hiring men, if somebody hits me with a lawsuit that I'm discriminating against women, wouldn't it be a common sense defense that I simply cannot hire women because they can't do the job?
No, I don't think so. Some women are perfectly capable of doing construction work. I mean, if you're applying neutral, completely uninfluenced by sex hiring standards and you happen to have a predominantly male workforce, then that's not discrimination. But if you're assuming that women are incapable of doing construction work and not hiring them for that reason, that is discrimination and it is against the law.
I understand. That would make sense. Maybe put them all through the same physical test instead of a talk interview and see who does.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I imagine in a case like that, an employer would want to set a particular metric, like anybody who does this job would have to be able to lift 80 pounds, let's say, and then they would test the men and the women who applied for the job to see if they could lift 80 pounds, and then it's a qualifications requirement, not a sexual screen. Is that something like that?
So long as lifting 80 pounds is truly required for the job and not just a pretext for discrimination.
Right. Let's take another one. Russell in the South Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi, Russell.
Thank you for taking my call. The question I have is this. You have an individual who's hired, and they're hired, say, as a man. And then 2 years later, they come in as a woman. Are they considered a different individual? And the papers that were filled out for the job application as a male, are they void?
No, the person is still the same person and the papers would not be void.
How can they be the same person when one time they're male, they consider themselves a male, and then the next time they consider themselves a female? Isn't that two identities?
A lot of things that you put on your initial job application might change about you later, your marital status, your lots of things.
Yes, including your name, the state of your residence, et cetera. For somebody who is transgender to share their true sex, that certainly can be something that other people have some reaction to, but you're not allowed to take any sort of adverse action, and the person is still the same person.
How much of this, and Russell, thank you for your call, is about money on the part of employers who don't want the health insurance policies that they offer their workers to get charged the expense of transitional surgery if somebody comes out as transgender while employed?
Right. Well, I mean, you're also not allowed to discriminate against people based on your perceptions of what health care they may need. That tends to be disability discrimination. I don't think that that is a real factor because, in fact, the costs, even for people who do need gender-affirming surgery, are very low when you look at overall costs for a plan. I think that the real reason is just gender bias.
Sydney in Crown Heights. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. I have a quick comment. Brian, I really appreciate the show being on today, and I hope that you have more shows on the subject of transgender people in New York. I think it's a great subject. My question is to your guest. I am a gender nonconforming person that is 100% out in my personal life, but in my professional life, I am 100% closeted for reasons very similar to your things that your client experience for getting fired for being themselves in the workplace. And my question to you is, someone in my position, if I do feel that I've been the subject of gender discrimination in the workplace, do you have any advice for steps that somebody like me should take to remedy that?
So if you've been discriminated against in your workplace, or if that is something that you experience, which I hope it never is, but unfortunately it is common for us and the trans community to experience, then one thing that I recommend is just keeping careful records. And the next thing that I recommend is going to either the EEOC, or if you have one, a local or state agency that enforces non-discrimination laws, or consulting an employment lawyer.
Thank you so much.
Sydney, thank you so much. This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio, with a few minutes left with Gabriel Arkels from the ACLU, who is representing Amy Stevens, a transgender woman who worked as a funeral director and says she was fired because of her sex once she came out as transgender to her employer after 6 years on the job. This case was accepted yesterday by the Supreme Court as part of a set of three that will explore whether the federal law that prohibits sex discrimination also covers discrimination against people who are gay or lesbian or trans. Mary Alice in East Flatbush, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary Alice.
Good morning. First, I want to say that one of the problems is conflating sex with gender. Sex is a material reality, and gender is a social construct often based upon the sex material reality. So that's one thing. The other thing is that some jobs are sensitive to certain things. So, for instance, with the funeral home, the clientele are grieving. They may not want to have to deal with being explained to that a man who is obviously looking like a man is dressing as a woman and now he's a she. So that might be one of the issues why the funeral home owner fired the guy, woman, whatever he is. And a similar thing happened in Canada where a guy decided that he identified as a woman, and then he made a beeline to a woman's domestic violence shelter and said that he wanted to be trained as a domestic violence counselor, where the clientele were women. They were already traumatized for having experienced rape and other violence at the hands of men. And mm-hmm. here's this guy mm-hmm. who says he's a woman who wants to be a counselor for them. And, right. you know, some jobs cannot...
Mary yeah. Alice, let me ask you a question based on what you said. What, just leaving it, limiting it to the question of the funeral home employee, you're saying, if I understand you correctly, that the funeral home owner might want to just create as comfortable as possible an environment for people in grief, and a lot of people are uncomfortable with people who appear to them to be transgender, and so that could be a reason for limiting that person's employment. What if the owner felt that a lot of the white families coming to bury a loved one might not be comfortable with a black funeral director?
Okay, but being African-American is a material reality based on fact. It's based on biology. Mm-hmm. That's different from being trans, which is based on a mental self-identification, not a material reality.
Mary, so I'm going to leave it there, and I appreciate your call. So, attorney, counselor, you're challenged on that basis.
Yes. So first of all, I just want to say transgender women are women. Transgender women are not men who think they're women. Transgender women are women. But also, regardless, it's been settled law for many decades that concerns that one's customers might be biased against an employee is not a legitimate basis to discriminate against an employee. So here, even if Amy Stevens' boss was concerned that his customers might be biased against her, that's not a basis for him to discriminate against her. And that has been settled in race cases, as well as in other types of cases about discrimination.
How about in general, the distinction between sex and gender? This is something that we certainly, you know, talk about in media coverage and academia, on which occasions word applies. The law prohibits sex discrimination. Does it also prohibit gender discrimination, or is that a difference without a distinction?
For the purposes of sex discrimination law, there's really no difference between sex and gender. The two words have been used interchangeably by the court. In fact, in 1989, the Supreme Court said that gender must be irrelevant to employment decisions. That's the law, and if gender has to be irrelevant for employment discriminations, that means it has to be irrelevant to employment decisions for all people. There's no carve-out for LGBT people.
We're almost out of time. I should just mention that the third case, the one we haven't mentioned yet, that the Supreme Court accepted yesterday is Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia. I found myself for the first time this morning reading the News Daily of Clayton County, Georgia, and it says the case stems from the firing of former court-appointed special advocates director Gerald Lynn Bostock, who contends that he was subjected to homophobic slurs and eventually fired for being gay. The county contends that Bostock was let go for alleged improper handling of funds. Specifically, the question Bostock's attorney, Brian Sutherland, wants the court to decide is whether discrimination based on sexual orientation constitutes prohibited employment discrimination because of sex. So it's in that same bucket as the other two that we've been talking about. So my last question is your case with Amy Stevens legally any different from the other two because they are about firings because someone is gay? Amy's, your client's, is about wearing women's clothes because she's transgender.
So they're all similar in that they're all about the scope of sex discrimination protection in the workplace. It is possible that a judge could reach a different decision on Bostock and Zarda than they reach in Amy Stevens' cases, in Amy Stevens' case, because they could find that sex does include discrimination against somebody for having a sex that's different from the sex they were assigned at birth, but that it isn't discrimination on the basis of sex to discriminate against somebody because they form relationships with somebody of the same sex. That wouldn't make any sense. It really is sex discrimination in both situations, but it is possible that the court could reach a different decision.
And I guess we should say that if Congress would pass a law explicitly banning discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity status, none of these cases would be necessary, but our politics aren't there yet in Congress.
Certainly the Equality Act would clarify the scopes of workplace protections for LGBT people. Yes.
And do we have, just so people don't have a false impression of not being covered in our listening area, I believe New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut all have state-level bans against discrimination in the workplace based on sexual orientation. I'm not sure about gender identity.
They do. They do cover sexual orientation and gender identity, but most state laws in this country don't explicitly cover sexual orientation and gender identity. But everyone in the country currently is covered. Everyone currently has protection under federal law, and the question before the court is whether to take that away.
And whether the court will recognize that protection or interpret it in the same way that you do. Gabriel Arkos, Senior Staff Attorney with the LGBT and HIV Project of the ACLU, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.